witnesses today?
No witnesses. The two people shown on the Zoom meeting, Kay Bremer and Brittany Avila, are both RPS staff, and they're just sitting in to observe.
Okay, well, that's good to know. I've been trying to toggle the controls a little more stridently lately in order to prevent unwanted interruptions, I will call them. So we've had that happen a couple of times, but I've got everybody identified over there, I'm less worried about it. But that is unchecked at the moment right now, so people don't have the ability to unmute. Oh, there we go.
Probably yeah,
I see, put that in the staff.
Yeah.
All right. So, anyway, we started recording, and I'm going to go ahead and call this to order at this point. This is a hearing before the City of Tacoma Hearing Examiner regarding, based on the filings that I have received, a request to vacate a portion of alley right-of-way between East 30th Street, between East K Street to the west and Valley View Terrace to the east, for expanded yard use by the abutting property owners, the petitioner. And based on what I understand from looking at the pre-hearing submissions, the only other abutting property owner is also joined in the petition, but is not necessarily the one prosecuting the petition. Is that correct, Ms. Rogers?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. This is Real Property Services file number 124.1425. And the hearing examiner number that's been assigned is HEX 2021-025. So I've got everything identified. Ms. Rogers, you've already identified yourself as the city's representative today. And you said you don't have any other witnesses to present at this point.
No other witnesses.
Okay. Well, looks like short and sweet. Then at this point, I don't see any members of the public in the participant room or in the waiting room, so we may have a real short one today. I will note that I'm presuming the city's going to make a motion here in just a moment to have its exhibits that it submitted prior to the hearing admitted and made part of the record. The only party that would object to that would be that would have standing to object would be the petitioner if there was some problem there. Do we not have anyone from the petitioner here today, Ms. Rogers?
Not that I can see, Mr. Examiner. I don't see anyone. So I would like to make a motion.
All right, go ahead and make the motion that will address the absence of the petitioner.
Yeah, so with your permission, the city asks to forego making a presentation today and instead request that the record reflect the admission of the file preliminary report and exhibits marked as city exhibits C-1 through C-16.
Okay. Kind of hard to know whether the petitioner would have any objection to any of that, whether not even here. So,
if you would consider that a formal motion or just a request. We are prepared to make oral presentation if necessary, but...
Well, you know, it really only benefits members of the public who are here, possibly with an interest in testifying, and there aren't any of those at the moment. So it really doesn't, you know, it does mean nothing to have you testify to stuff that's already, you know, been submitted, and if your motion is granted, then it would already be part of the record. So, you know, and it doesn't have to be read in verbally in order to be in the record. It's already in a written form. So I'm inclined to grant your motion, and will do so.
Thank you.
Do we have any idea why the petitioner is not present?
I do not know, Mr. Examiner. The petitioner was emailed and informed of the hearing date and time. And a copy of the preliminary report and exhibits were sent via email to the petitioner on December 28th, 2021.
Right. Because here's my problem. The city is not the agent of the petitioner.
Correct.
And you know, in some street vacation petitions, the petitioner does have a problem with city exhibits. and has their own information to either supplement that or that's contrary to the information the city submits. We don't even know that's the case. And again, the city does not act in any way as the agent of the petitioner. In situations like, I presume this one to be from having read the city submissions prior to hearing starting, the city is recommending that this street vacation petition be approved. And so the likelihood that there's disagreement over the information and whatever is low, but who knows when they're not here. And again, the city's not acting as agent for the petitioner to see this petition be moved on through the recommendation public hearing process onto the city council. So I'm kind of disinclined to go forward with the hearing when we don't have the petitioner here. Procedurally, it makes no sense to me. It also creates potential problems, just assuming anything that the petitioner would have me know as the city council's hearing officer on the way to making a recommendation on this particular petition. And I understand, Ms. Rose, it's not your fault. I'm not reprimanding you or chastising you in any way on this. I don't understand when we don't have petitioners show up.
I wish I had an explanation. So, that when the information was sent to the petitioner, they were directed to contact me if there were any questions or they had any, if they had disagreed with the preliminary report, I haven't received anything via my email. As you know, Team Pasco was originally handling this matter, and she has left the city as of December 28th. So I don't know if there's anything in her email that might have been received from the petitioner, but the email did direct the petitioner to contact me. So I haven't heard anything.
I presume that this is sort of a question, I guess, to my staff, who's sort of present here in the background, as well as you, Ms. Rogers. I presume that the Zoom information and everything for today's hearing was sent to the petitioner. I'm fairly certain my office would have done that. Let me check and see what their IMing me with here.
Mm-hmm. It was sent to the petitioner.
Yeah. Well, here's what I'm going to propose. Let's take a 10-minute recess and see if we can roust the petitioner out, get him to join us here. And if we can, that's great. If we can't, I am going to adjourn the hearing, and we'll have to have it re-noticed and reconvene the other day.
Would you like for me to try to reach out to the petitioner, or will the hearing examiner's office be contacting them to try and...
I'm gonna let you do that, Ms. Rogers, and see if you can get him here. If they're looking at caller ID, they'll probably recognize your name, I would hope, from having, well, maybe they won't. I don't know if they're dealing with Teague before. I'm gonna let you do that. We'll see where we're at in 10 minutes. It's 10:41 right now. My office is messaging me here that we sent hearing notice to parties back in November. Excuse me, Ms. Rogers, see what you can do, and let's reconvene. Let's make it a little bit longer here. I'm going to pause everything until 1:55. We'll come back and see where we're at, trying to get the petitioner present at their own hearing.
we will see you shortly then. Thank you.
All right. So I will pause, and I'm going to turn everything off until 1:55. We'll be back.
Great. But here I am, and I have all the paperwork for this street vacation in front of me, and whatever you need from me, I'm available.
Fantastic. We're glad you're here. kind of hard to proceed with one of these if we don't have the petitioner here, because as I was telling the city's representatives that they're not agents for the petitioner, even in cases where there's no disagreement or adversarial aspect to it. So we've got to have the petitioner here in order to be able to proceed. We are back on the record before 1:55. I noticed that Mr. Becker was in the waiting room, so I've admitted him. We've got the city's representative back. I have restarted the recording. So I'm going to go ahead and give the formal rundown here. Like I said, this is a street vacation petition that's been filed under hearing examiner file number HEX 2021-025. Based on the pre-hearing filings, it is a request to vacate a portion of an alley abutting in the line southeast 30th Street between East K Street to the west and Valley View Terrace to the east, with the stated purpose of that vacation being for expanded yard use of the abutting properties. We have the city's representative from Real Property Services Division of Public Works Department, Susie Rogers. We have Aaron Becker, who is listed as the petitioner in this matter. And so I think we are ready to proceed then. I will note that this is a public hearing in all senses, one being that members of the public are allowed to attend and observe. I don't think we have any of them present at this point, because I think I know everybody who's showing on the participants list at this point. If we have others show up, I may have to tighten the controls until we get the public testimony portion, just so we don't have any unwanted interruptions. But we'll see who gets here at that point. And Mr. Becker, I was explaining, and Ms. Rogers already knows this, that the city already made a motion to have its exhibits that were submitted to my office prior to the hearing admitted and made part of the record. And so what that means is all of the information in those exhibits that are marked C1, C for City, C1 through C16, are formally part of the official record that I review on the way to making my written recommendation to the city council. And I am the city council's duly appointed hearing officer to conduct the required public hearing. And again, that's a public hearing and the public can observe and attend, but there's also a public hearing or a public testimony portion of the hearing that we'll have if there's anybody here who wants to offer that kind of public comment. That'll be after the city has made its presentation and after you, Mr. Becker, as the petitioner, have presented any additional information that you want considered as well. And if we don't have anybody here, we just dispense with that and move on. So a public hearing is required. I conduct that for the city council, but the city council makes the decision in street vacations because under Washington law, street vacations are considered a legislative action, and I am not the city's legislative body, nor will I ever be, because you have to stand for election for that, and I'm not sure I would ever stand for an election. I'd probably fall down before it was over and done with and just not do it. I am extremely apolitical from the sense of not being a member of any political party, and so the likelihood of me ever getting elected to an office is about zero. And it's even less than zero when you consider whether I would, even want to. So there you have it. But I do conduct the hearing, and then I make a written recommendation based on what's been submitted and what is testified to and presented here today as part of the hearing. Ms. Rogers already knows this, but all the material that's been submitted by the city has been moved to be admitted, made part of the record, and I granted that motion before we took a brief recess to see if we could get you here, Mr. Beckert, as the petitioner. Mr. Beckert, I presume the city sent you copies of those exhibits, C1 through C16, is that correct?
That's correct, and I have them in front of me right now.
And yes. You've had a chance to review those. Some of those are things that you submitted along the way.
Right.
You've had a chance to review the city's exhibit C1 through C16?
Yeah, it looks good to me.
Okay, so you would not have had any objection to those exhibits being admitted and made part of the record, even if you've been here when I admitted and made part of the record?
That's correct, yes.
All right. Well, it's good to know there's no post-admittance objection or whatever we would call it at that point. So that's good. That enables us to move forward even more quickly. And Mr. Becker, just for your edification, when there aren't members of the public present at the hearing, oftentimes I will tell the city's representative that all the information that's in those written exhibits that have been submitted is part of the record, and it doesn't need to be read in again verbally during the hearing to be part of the record. It already is. And so it doesn't do me any good to hear that verbally in addition to having it on the pay, you know, on the written page. When there are members of the public here, it serves an educational purpose for the public to hear about what's in that written compendium so that they're better informed and can maybe testify to things later on in the hearing on a little bit more informed basis. But we don't have anybody here at this point. So, Ms. Rogers, correct me if I'm misremembering, you already suggested that you might just dispense with the presentation and allow the record to stand as submitted in writing. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. I guess what I will do then is say that that is fine. And Mr. Becker, for your edification, the city, by hearing examiner rule, usually goes first and makes its presentation. In this case, because we don't have members of the public here, the city's dispensing with that. When the city makes a presentation, the petitioner has the opportunity to cross-examine the city's presenters or witnesses. And so what I'm going to do here is kind of an attestation, and then I'm going to offer you, Mr. Becker, the opportunity to ask the city any questions if you have any. So hang on just a moment. Normally, where the city would be offering testimony, I would have the city make that testimony under oath, the penalty of perjury. What I'm going to do is, Ms. Rogers, if you would raise your right hand, I'm going to ask if you can attest that the information that's been submitted in the city's C1 through C16 is the truth to the best of your knowledge, and if you can so attest to that, say yes.
Yes.
All right. So we've essentially then had the city's exhibits now attested under oath and penalty of perjury that that's all true and correct to the best of the city's knowledge. And we have that there. Mr. Becker, let me back up. Ms. Rogers, are you wishing to make any sort of argument or statement in regard to the city submissions at this point, or are you dispensing with that as well? You certainly don't have to, but if you want to make a statement or argument, either, you know, opening, closing, or otherwise, I guess.
No further statement, Mr. Examiner.
Okay. Well, we can certainly do this just on the submissions. But I do want to offer Mr. Becker the opportunity to ask you, as the city's representative, any questions. If he has questions on what the city has submitted to this point. Do you have questions for the city, Mr. Becker?
No. Well, the one thing that's kind of left out there is I'm not sure exactly how much I'm going to be required to pay for this vacation. Who had Susie Rogers' job, who I've been working with for the past year, gave me kind of a preliminary estimate. And my neighbors, John and Leslie, and I were a little bit taken aback. It seemed to be north of $40,000. And it's just a 20-foot wide, steep north-facing easement, or with a sewer main running down the middle of it. So it's not developable outside of landscaping. And so I was just wanted to see if that's still the valuation that the city has put on it. I know the city needs to do fair market value, and we did get a 25% discount for the easement that runs through it. For what I've been able to buy properties for around here in recent years, and even with the large lot on Valley View Terrace, which is assessed at around $7 a square foot, it seems a little bit it is a lot of money, and so I was just wanted to see if that's still the case, or or when will we know how much we're expected to contribute?
Well, let me jump in for just one quick second here, and then I'll pitch it to Ms. Rogers. Normally, the city doesn't make its formal valuation until after first reading of the ordinance, where council has, at first reading anyway, approved the vacation, because without that approval, I think this is Real Property Services thinking, without that initial round of first reading approval, it doesn't make sense to go to the effort of doing the valuation. And that number is determined, and then once it's paid, then the ordinance comes back, or if there are any other conditions precedent, then that ordinance comes back to the council for second reading and full finalization. Ms. Rogers, am I correct in that? Do you have anything to add to that?
Yes, you are correct, Mr. Examiner. So valuation, Mr. Rickard, will be addressed after this first hearing. You know, you're certainly welcome to, you know, bring forth, you know, an appraisal to show what you think that vacated area may be valued at in fair market value terms. But this preliminary report that's being submitted here today doesn't address valuation. It just addresses whether or not the city supports the street vacation.
Okay, that sounds good. Yeah, thank you.
Any other questions, Mr. Beckert, for Ms. Rogers?
No, I at some point I'm curious the timeline for, you know, when we'll get evaluation, what are maybe the next steps. But I could talk with Ms. Rogers after the hearing about stuff like that. So.
Yeah, and I can tell you the timeline for, you know, some of that, and I usually do that sort of towards the end as we're wrapping up. So let me save what I would normally say in that regard till then. I do have one or two questions, I think, though, for the city's representative now that I think about it, just to kind of make sure I'm understanding the submissions completely correctly. So if I could do that, and before I do that, I am going to swear you in for that testimony that I'm eliciting reluctantly from Mrs. Rogers. Not for you, Mr. Beckford, but for Ms. Rogers at this point. We'll see if I have any questions for you, I guess, in a minute. Do you swear and affirm that the testimony I am about to elicit from you will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
All right. So just a couple of questions then. I'm looking at the preliminary report, one of the maps. Let's see. Maybe if one of the maps shows us exactly outside the preliminary report. Now, the maps don't show it the same, but in Exhibit C1 in the preliminary report, page here, at page 3 of 7, there's a map in there, and it shows the vacation area, and then it shows the easement E-3871. That's the power easement, correct?
Correct.
And that's entirely outside of the vacation area, or at least it's looks like it has maybe a coterminous line to the east of it, but then extends outside of the vacation area from there. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. It is abutting the vacation area. It's not within the vacation area, as far as I can tell from the exhibits.
Okay, so it just encumbers more into that 3002 parcel.
Correct. But the reason why we would want to reserve an easement for utility purposes is that access to that line is access to the line.
Yeah, access would still be through the easement retained over the vacation area.
Correct.
And my understanding is that there is in fact environmental services facilities that runs down the middle of the vacation area.
Yes, that's correct.
And so the city is proposing to retain an easement for city utilities over the entirety of the vacation area. So for the existing facilities, for access still to the power facilities that are not in the vacation area, and I don't know, I suppose possibly for future facilities as well. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And Mr. Becker, do you understand that the city is going to be proposing to retain a utility easement for the existing facilities and possibly for future facilities as well over the entirety of the vacation area?
Yeah, I'm aware of that. And that sounds great. And we're not going to build on the property. We're not going to fence it off or restrict access. We're just going to probably landscape it.
All right. Let's see. Scrolling through, make sure that's the only question that I had. Look at my notes that I've glued all over into the submittals. I think that's it. Boy, just commentary, looking at the city's exhibit C5A, the deed of dedication for this thing. You know, that's how you do it if you're just doing right away. So many of that vintage and others, you see a right away that's been done by what appears to be a statutory warranty deed. It's like, that just makes me crazy when we get those. Anyway. But that deed of dedication is one done right, even back in 1912, I guess, when it was done. All right, well, I think that's all the questions that I had. Mr. Becker, did you have any additional information that you wanted me to consider that's not covered in the city's submission C1 through C16?
I don't think so. I've talked with all the neighbors around me about what we're planning on doing. This, like I was saying, this is a very steep part of my neighbors and I backyard, and nobody accesses it as it is. It's not really, you couldn't really realistically put a road down it, and other than the utilities that run through it, that's all the purpose that it serves. But we would like to have ownership if we can, and so that's why we're I've never done this before, but it's been very interesting going through the process, and looks like we're getting there.
Right. So. Well, here's a secret for you. You already have ownership of it. It's just that your ownership is encumbered by this right-of-way interest that the city has.
Okay.
At least if the vacation petition is approved, your ownership will then become unencumbered by that right-of-way interest, but remain subject to a utility easement.
I gotcha. Thank you.
That's how Washington law works, is the property owners who abut right-of-way areas still own the fee simple interest in that property out to the center line of the right-of-way. It's just encumbered by a very, very hefty easement known as a public right-of-way, which in most cases means you can't do a whole lot with the property if it's encumbered by that, particularly if it's been opened and approved as a public right-of-way, which this alleyway hasn't been, is my understanding from the submittals. But just a little bit of free information on Washington law there, which most people don't understand. Most people think that a public right-of-way is owned by the city or the county or the state or whoever, and it's typically not. If it's just been dedicated as a right-of-way rather than conveyed in fee for that purpose. So, all right. Well, Mr. Becker, if you don't have anything else, that would normally take us to our public testimony portion of the hearing. And I'm looking at our participants list still for people who are in the hearing room. And it doesn't look like we have anybody who's here to do that. Because at this point, everybody's in the hearing room is either petitioner, city staff, or my staff. And so we will dispense with the public testimony portion because there's no one here to do that. And that usually means that we are dispensing with any rebuttal. It's because there's nothing to rebut. Normally, if we have public testimony, the city and or the petitioner might jump in and offer some rebuttal testimony that addresses questions or concerns that come up in the public testimony portion of the hearing. But without public testimony portion, nobody here to do that, we really don't have anything to rebut. Am I correct in that assumption, Ms. Rogers?
Yes.
Unless you want to rebut something that I said, I suppose. But
I pretty much agree with you.
Well, that's good, because I think that's, especially after the 2012 Keeley v. Graves case came out, I think it's pretty well settled that it's a right-of-way, if it's done the right-of-way, is an easement and not ownership in the public entity that has the right-of-way interest. So anything by way of rebuttal from you, Mr. Becker?
No, this is great. You guys are really nice to work with, and thank you for taking the time. I apologize for being late to the meeting, and thanks for allowing us to have a little delay so I could be present.
No, that's okay. I'm just glad we got you here. Didn't have to continue it out to a later date and have to go through all the notice, go back to council and have it set by resolution, and all of that necessary rigmarole. So, you know, wrapping it up today is, I think, in everybody's best interest. And since we got you here, we're able to do that. So I'm presuming no closing argument from the city.
No, nor from
Mr. Beckford. No rebuttal, no closing. And we will be ready to adjourn then. Speaking to timelines that you brought up, Mr. Becker, this is going to be a pretty easy one for me to write up as a recommendation, but I am required to put down written findings and conclusions on the way to a written recommendation to the council that the council will then consider on the way to first and then a second reading in regard to a decision on the street vacation. Council does not have to follow my recommendation. They normally do, but they don't have to. And I can tell you, I don't see any reason at this point not to recommend that the vacation be approved. But I'll put all that down in writing, and that will be forwarded on to the council. And a request to be put on to the council's consent agenda will be made. All of that, writing my recommendation, getting it on the council menu or council agenda, probably be around a month. And I'll send you a copy, Mr. Becker. My office will send you a scanned emailed version of the recommendation when it issues. That will probably be 10 business days or less that will issue, and then we'll work on getting it on the council agenda. In terms of it coming back for a second reading and finalization, that all just depends on what happens in between times in terms of the valuation and how sticky that ends up being and getting that paid and the easement language taken care of and all that sort of thing. So that part of it's really kind of out of my hands, and we'll, you know, I mean, my guess, if I had to guess on this one, would be maybe a month or two. But that just depends on how fast you and Ms. Rogers and Real Property Services are in the interim. So, does that help at all?
Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah, thank you.
All right. Anything to add in regard to timing, Ms. Rogers?
No.
Okay. All right. I think my office is wanting me to confirm your email address, Mr. Becker. Is it? AA Aaron Beckard, all one word, at hotmail.com?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. So we'll... Hotmail. I have a Hotmail account, too. I'm wondering...
Yeah. Old school.
I've had it since, like, 1995, I think. So, as long as I've been licensed to practice law, so there you go. I would imagine this recommendation won't be so hefty that it won't make it through the Hotmail firewalls or whatever, but I guess we'll check. Maybe we'll give you a quick call when we send that out to make sure that you've got it. And like I said, that issue should issue within the next 2 weeks, 10 business days.
And then just curious, I guess you could have asked earlier, I'm about to go on a motorcycle trip to South America for a couple of months, and I won't be around to, you know, transfer funds and stuff. And I just want to make sure what kind of everything's approved. I don't expect there're going to be any hiccups here. How much time do we have to get the money to the city to complete this vacation? Do we have a year or 6 months, or is it a short window, and if we miss it, we've got to start all over?
Well, sometimes they languish that long. unless it's been revised, there's some code language that kind of puts time limits on this.
There is some code language that I think will either limit it to like 90 or 120 days. But okay. Certainly, you know, we will work with you if we know that you're proceeding in good faith and wanting to proceed. we can work with you on that.
Okay, and then another hypothetical possibility is I want to go forward for sure, and my neighbors, John and Leslie, there's a possibility that they're going to be like, oh, it's too much money, we can't afford it. And I had talked with them, if that's the case, that maybe I could buy their share and add it to my property, not buy their property for them, but buy the vacation and just add it all to my properties instead of like we have planned where we're all going to share it proportionally. Is that an option?
Would you like me to answer, Mr. Examiner, or do you
I can answer it, I suppose. I mean, it's really sort of beyond my purview to a certain degree, but from my perspective, I think you would need to have the property unencumbered first, and whatever you work out with your neighbors as to who's paying what and all of that, you know, that's between you and them. From my perspective, I think if I were you, I would want to have the right-of-way vacation finalized first so that the property's unencumbered from that interest, and then to the extent that your neighbors wanted them to, because you paid for it, convey their strip of that property, of their property that's now unencumbered by that right-of-way interest. You could work that out with them and have that done in a separate conveyance.
I see. Okay. Great. Probably like a boundary line adjustment.
It's possible. Yeah, I think a boundary line adjustment probably would be the easiest vehicle to do that.
Okay, we'll get there. If we get there, we'll get there, and we'll work through that. But that was just something I considered. A lot of it will depend on the valuation that the city comes up with.
Fair enough. Any other procedural matters or questions we need to address before we adjourn today, then? Anything from the city?
No.
Anything from you, Mr. Becker?
Nope. Yep.
All right. Well, appreciate everyone being present today, indulging me in my questions on the way to getting our record finalized for this, and expect something in your email boxes within the next 10 business days.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Examiner, and thank you, Ms. Rogers, and it's been great working with y'all.
Thank you.
Good enough. Glad you had a good experience with it, and hopefully it continues that way. And with that, I wish you both a good rest of your afternoon and a good future.
Thank you.
All right. Sounds good.
Bye-bye.
Recording stopped.